This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
I have to say Europe's an economic drag.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. New figures this morning from countries that use the euro show the continent's economy has been getting weaker for six straight quarters. That's a year and a half of contraction. In France, the figures show it was officially a recession. In the continent's largest economy, Germany, they have eked out a slight expansion. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is in Brussels. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
These two large economies in Europe have been muddling along for over 5 years now. That must be very dispiriting if you're trying to find a job or enter the workforce. I mean, you could have finished college in 2007 and not found work even now.
Yes, the extent to which it's dispiriting, I think, varies quite a lot between different Eurozone economies, including these two big ones. Bear in mind, Germany does have pretty low unemployment. It's only about 5.5%, so that's a good deal lower than it is in the United States. I was in Germany earlier this year, and the people I spoke to were kind of aware that things were going pretty badly in other parts of Europe, but certainly in the part I was in, which was Bavaria, Munich, and also in Frankfurt, there wasn't an obvious, palpable sense of concern there. But of course, if things were to stumble along in this rather unsatisfactory way for a very long time, that might change. And certainly there is a certain amount of disquiet in Germany about the resources they fear might end up being wasted on propping up countries that are struggling in the Eurozone crisis, all that bailout money that Germans, I sometimes think, do worry whether they're going to get it all back.
Now, cross the border into France, and the sting of unemployment is much more acute.
Yeah, it's a much bigger problem in France. We're looking at a figure in the region of 11% there. You will find a lot of businesses that will tell you that hiring workers is expensive, partly because it's very difficult and expensive to fire them if you really do need to in a downturn. But even there, it's nothing like the kind of situation that young people particularly are facing in Greece and Spain, where you're looking at unemployment rates among the young population of more than 50%. It's bad enough in France, but it's another world again in those two other countries.
The BBC's Andrew Walker speaking to us from Brussels. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And here's a story that could get a lot bigger. The EU has raided the London offices of two oil companies and an oil industry data firm looking for information about possible collusion on prices. BP, Royal Dutch Shell, and McGraw-Hill's Platts Energy Data Company got what were called unannounced inspections. The investigation is looking into distortion in some published prices for oil and oil products. Now let's do the numbers. If you don't like the economic news from Europe, may I propose instead Japan, where optimism about the economy there pushed the Nikkei stock index up 2.3%. The Nikkei closed above 15,000 for the first time since early 2008. In London right now, the FTSE 100 index is flat.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
7 years ago, Congress passed the Military Lending Act to prevent financial abuse of soldiers, and it's helped by banning certain short-term loans, payday and car title ones, and capping interest at 36%. But creative lenders are still finding ways into this lucrative market, and military families are still falling into high-interest, quick-cash loans. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Mitchell Hartman has this story in a series we're calling Beyond Payday. It's a collaboration with ProPublica.
Huge loudspeakers blare the daily retreat at Fort Stewart Army Base outside Savannah. Later that night, off base in a neighborhood of rundown ranch houses, I meet Mark and Lisa Gerber. He's an MP on the base. She's at home raising their three kids.
We manage okay, I suppose.
They haven't managed so well. A few years ago, Mark got a base transfer. They struggled to keep up the mortgage payments on their home back in Missouri, took out a high-interest installment loan plus another loan.
And then they called us and said they were foreclosed on the house.
I deployed shortly after that, so fighting it in court and going through that whole battle wasn't really an option, and I didn't want to leave that burden on my wife, so we just filed bankruptcy.
The Military Lending Act was supposed to protect service members from high-cost, small-dollar lenders. Payday and title lenders have backed off, but stores offering other kinds of high-interest loans still cluster outside bases.
Soldiers are a sure source of income. When soldiers are back from Iraq or Afghanistan, they are itching to spend money.
Army Captain Brandon Archuleta is not a military financial counselor. Until recently, he commanded a company of 100 soldiers at Fort Stewart.
On a good day, I would be notified by the soldier that a payday lender was looking for them because they are in default. On a bad day, it would be almost like an ambush, a phone call looking for such and such soldier. They were relentless.
I think it's been a vexing problem for the military.
Holly Petraeus at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. She says the military does offer low-cost emergency loans to soldiers, but
people don't want to come in and say that they've messed up their finances. And yet, products where they're just repeatedly paying large fees to borrow the same small amounts every month, you're going to end up in a terrible financial mess and with the real potential of losing your security clearance.
And maybe having to leave the military altogether. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in our running series on the nickel and dime economy, the super local online news site DNA Info has found at least 15 McDonald's in Manhattan charge for the little ketchup packets. How entrepreneurial. The straws and napkins are still free for now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.